All right, we welcome you back. We're in live radio again. It is it's Thursday. It's we're at State Fair. It's a cup of soup or bowl. It is Crab Cake Row. We have our first contributions of minestrone soup. Looks pretty delicious over there. Allison's going to be coming on from Susan G. Komen, not to be confused with Susan B. Anthony, because I get the G and the B mixed up. So I got that straight with my wife before I left. I'm like, I said, Susan B. Komen. She's like, that's Susan B. Anthony. She's on a silver dollar, not Susan G. Komen. John Rollo is our guest, and he's going to get some. I feel like Oprah when I do this. You know, you get a lottery ticket, 10 times the cash, top prize, $10,000.
Awesome.
Your name came up. I don't know, your ears were burning. I was over Costas on Tuesday. But I should say that you I invited him to State Fair, and he went to Timonium.
I got hit a lot.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. Well, you're in a great place here, and I just wolfed down steak and eggs here. They have great shrimp and grits. They have amazing chicken and waffles. There's jalapeno, raspberry stuff and all that. So your name came up, and I feel I'm embarrassed because I thought this week I was going to do 100 charities. I'm going to do maybe 65 or 70. The food bank thing, the soup thing. But in the beginning, I thought, well, I'll have celebrities and people, you know, whatever. And then it just turned into all these charities got back to me, and I didn't, like, need the celebrities right. So much, or the politicians, or Civic Shakers, or Old Orioles, or poor Mike Bordick dragging him out. You know, I didn't need to, you know. I figured the charity. And then Turnaround brought Femi on Monday. I think he's been a softie, right? I mean, sure. I think he's had animals. So, but John Rollo, when I talk about you, and I talk about you behind your back all the time, people talk about you, and they, do you know him? And I'm like, he's big guys. And I'm like, dude, we were altar boys together in 1977 at Fatima.
Little League
we
baseball.
Played Little League baseball. You're in every Little League. You're only about this much bigger than me in baseball, but by the time we got to football, you went like this, and I got shorter and fatter, as I remember it. So he's in every one of my childhood pictures, and I loved your dad, and you loved my dad.
Sure.
And people don't know that about us, man.
No,
you know?
for sure.
Because we're different cats, like, really.
I mean, 100%.
But the same. Well,
but what people don't really know about you is even when you were a kid, you were destined to do this. Because I remember at Fatima, remember they would do the trophy
he's
things.
He's going to say something that I don't even know what he's going to say.
Yeah,
he's too big for me to beat up.
He would come to the award banquets, and he would give
sports
nights. Yeah,
oh,
man. And he would get the Colts and the Orioles that were there and give them the Spanish Inquisition. So he was interviewing
you remember
them.
That?
Yeah, man. So
I have a picture of Cal Ripken Sr. in the basement at Fatima
right?
And he's smoking a heater.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, they would serve the roast beef dinner, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It was a Tuesday night.
It was a cool thing. Like, you would go, you're a little kid.
Tell everybody about that.
I mean, you know, I don't even know if that stuff happens anymore.
I made John Steadman come one year, and when he came in, like, 84, 85, Ben Neal made me.
Ben.
Ben, everybody knows Ben.
A friend of mine's uncle.
Every house I've ever bought, Ben's been the title guy, right? other until the last house I bought over here, I had a ground title. But Ben, when I'm doing the newspaper thing in the 80s, and Ben knew me from the church. He's like, can you get John Steadman? And I'm like, hey, Mr. Steadman, call me John, senor. And, so I sent John over to Fatima, and I didn't think I went that night. It was like in the mid to late 80s. It was kind of falling apart.
Right.
It was kind of, we were
in the 70s.
70s, right.
Know?
And so John went over there, and he came back, and I said, how'd it go, John? Senor, they did not need me. They had celebrities far larger, you know, like, so Sports Night was something, I'm trying to think of the players that were there. I remember Kenny Cooper coming vividly.
Yeah, I remember Ken Huff from the Colts, you know what I mean? I think I remember Zachary Dixon was a running back.
Jack Dawson, I have a picture of Jack Dawson, Channel 2.
Yeah, man, it was cool. I mean, and like I said, you were already interviewing these guys as a kid.
I don't remember it that way.
And I also remember and I give you credit where credit's due. I always tell everybody, I mean, you're the guy that brought sports radio to Baltimore.
Thank you.
There was no sports talk until you started it. And so, you know, whatever people want to say, you deserve your credit for that.
Well, we're doing other important things now, you know, I mean, say whatever we want. I mean, the reason you're here and I'm here, I've been a sports guy forever. The first thing you said is you think you're going to get your Oriole press pass back.
Right.
And the notion that I'm sitting here instead of in Las Vegas, but I wanted to do something good. And I dreamed this thing up, and I told Carmen the story and cried once already, talking about my father starving. You knew my father.
Sure.
I'm going to honor my father's birthday's March 5th. I'm going to re-release the 19-chapter book I wrote in 2006 about why I love baseball. And I'm not gonna, I haven't looked at it and edited it in 18 years. But I did Free the Birds because my father would have told me to do that, and you know that.
Right.
I mean, what the Orioles became and what they've become is not the way it was supposed to be when you and I were on the Eastwood Orioles.
Sure.
In 1978.
No, that's true.
We were
on
the Eastwood Orioles.
It's true. It was, things, once everything gets a corporate taint to it, it starts to ruin things because you lose the personality of it. So the Orioles, you know, it's giant business now. The NFL, it's giant business now. And, instead of people running the organizations by their values, they're running the organizations based on the whims of the people that are paying them the big dollars, the TV networks and such.
Well, that's why I'm not in Las Vegas now. So I'm here. And I wanted to do something good. So show your soft side. I've told everybody, like, November, I dreamed this up. My kid comes up with the soup. So now we're early December. I'm like, I want to do 100 charities. And my wife's like, that's a lot of charities. I'm like, well, I just ran into Allison from Susan G. B. Komen over at, I'm trying to learn today, at Coco's 2 months ago. And I'm like, I got 100 people like her who do. And I mean, like, and then I got like, I got 100 celebrities and, you know, I'll call this guy, Bordick will do this and Raleigh. And I put the list together and Show Your Soft Side was one of the, along with Barks at Baltimore Humane, where I've my cat and Gold Secker, all these.
Sure.
I put a list together of who I wanted on the show this week to present, and I got to probably 120 different places, but I didn't think of you. I thought I write to Sandy, right? And I think of Frank Lemish.
Sandy's the best.
And Frank doesn't come on a show, but I Sandy, I've been writing to. The last time I did a Show Your Soft Side piece was Danny Wiseman. Who we also grew up with, right?
Yeah, right, Dundalk guy, bowler, Hall of Fame.
Danny and I traded baseball cards. We were in the same seventh grade class together at Hollabird. And Danny's a Hall of Famer, right? So Danny did a Show Your Soft Side with his fiery.
Yeah.
We did it up at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bel Air, and he had done a poster. This is before the plague, man. This is like 17 or 18, like that range.
Sure.
So it's been a long time, and we lost Lori, and I didn't know Lori, but I know Sandy, and I know you. And then Tanya came out Tuesday. We got to talking, and she was asking me if I knew you. First, she said, "You know John Rollo?" And I'm like, "All right, I effed that up. I should have invited him over here." And I appreciate you coming over to Catonsville.
Nah, it's all good.
But I said something really off Twitter. I'm like, "Well, when he got his cat, he did a video thing, and he talked me into getting a cat." I remember I reached to you. You kind of talked me to get. We're our second cat now, and she's like, "No. John has cats.
Yeah,
cats.
Dude, I got four of them."
Well, that's why you got invited.
Yeah.
You got invited because I said, when he got his cat, he's like, no, he's got cats. I'm like, well, he's got three more stories. You were you anti-cat, afraid of cats, and like cats,
like,
and no
dude,
cats?
Like, it's a crazy story how I became the cat guy, but I really never was much into cats because they're kind of aloof and things. And that's, you just thought, you know, you can't even interact
you
with them the
like
way you
Stallone,
interact with
like
a
you
dog.
Have a big bulldog
well, oh,
named
I had,
Buckus.
Dude, I had a Roddy. I've had a Pit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I knew you didn't have a Chihuahua.
And with my lifestyle, especially when I was touring, you know, with Tommy Lee and all that stuff, you're not home as much. You know, dogs are they're kids. Like, they have to be walked. They have to be fed. You have to take them out. It's more of a responsibility where the cats, you know, you can roll out for a couple days as long as the litter pans are clean and their food and water's full. Nobody has to take them out for walks. They can just – people come through and check on them. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, a little bit about why. But, you know, I got converted to cats. I wound up this is going to be a funny story. This isn't exactly charitable, but I had a rental. We had rental properties. And this guy owed me like $2,000. Went into the house. It was trashed. It's a mess. Cat had kittens. These kittens are running around. We're leaving. We go out to my car, and one of them follows us. And my girl at the time was like, oh, my God, he's so cute. And I'm like, take that cat. You know, that guy owes us money anyway. So we take him home. And this guy, he's who I was in the poster with, the picture.
Oh, Doobie. Right.
His name was Doobie. And he converted me, man. Like, he was like a dog. He comes when you call him. I used to stick him in my coat, go to my friend's house to watch football. He'd go with us, like, the whole nines. So when, like, what happened, I was involved with Barks. And I didn't even want to do that.
I don't
that.
Know this story. I should have eaten my steak and eggs with you instead of wolfing it down. Mute my mic. I've done enough talking this week.
So so I wind up with him, and at the time when Show Your Soft Side came to me, he was sick. Like, he was, kidneys were failing. Literally, we were giving him IV fluids. Like, he would sit on the table.
How old was he?
Oh, man, he's probably 14 or so.
Okay. And I'm freaking out. My girl's almost seven now, and it feels like a minute ago.
Nah, you'll be fine. But, you know, so we're taking care of him, and they asked me to do this campaign. And I was one of the charter members. It was myself. It was Adam Jones, and it was
Jarrett?
Jarrett Johnson.
I had Jarrett on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so we were the three guys.
And then Tory and other posters came out.
Everybody came after that. They took pictures with their dogs. Doobie was passing, so I wanted good pictures of us. So I told them, you're doing them with
now,
my cat
right,
and me.
Yeah.
So they took the pictures and everything. When I went, like, Stephanie Rawlings Blake was the mayor at the time. She asked me to come to City Hall and speak when they were introducing the thing.
Well, let's get to the real story. Kids were killing cats.
Oh, well, this is an animal anti-violence campaign, 100%. So that was really...
Well, that's why they wanted a big cat.
Idea behind it.
That's why the big ugly got invited down to the City Hall, right? You know?
The slogan was, only a punk would hurt a cat or a dog.
Right.
And we were there to talk about that, obviously, because the animals can't speak for themselves. But when they did the posters and I did the cat, look, I'm not an Oriole. I'm not a Raven. I'm known locally, but I don't consider myself like a star or something like Adam Jones. And my picture got more... like responses on social media than theirs did because of the cat.
Right.
So it just got crazy. And that was that. When I went to do the speech, he had already passed, but I was going to bring everybody down. I just acted like he was alive. And the story she's talking about, there was a show called Must Love Cats on Animal Planet. And when I went to adopt a new cat from Barks, they actually came, filmed the whole thing, came to the house, saw him interacting.
I remember that because, you know, I think I saw you do that, and my wife said to me, I wish she were here. So I was not anti-cat, I was anti-pet. Because I'm like, I had a kid when I was 15.
It's a responsibility.
I had a 90-year-old mother. Right. I got employees.
Right.
You know, I had a station, AM radio. And like, I'm like, it's going to get between us. And she just wanted a cat really bad. We came in the relationship with the cat. She surrendered her cat because the cat didn't take to the move and all that. I didn't understand her emotions about it well enough. So it was the thing in our marriage that she beat me up the most about for 8 years. Like, she really wanted a cat. One day we'll get a cat. You're never going to let us have a cat. Like was that? And I'm like, I'm not anti-cat. I'm anti-parenting.
Right.
I did that, right?
Sure.
So... this is 2010 or 11, I guess it was, and I know I talked to you. I specifically know I talked to you about it because she saw you on TV, and here you were going through like these cages and stuff, and she said, John Rollett has got a cat. And one night I was doing dishes in the condo. It was like November or whatever year, 9, 10, whatever year it was. And she got emotional, and I'm like, all right, we're getting a cat. Like, if it's going to bother you this much, I'm in, we're in. Just let me get through Super Bowl, let me get back. We'll do it in April. And in April, I had talked to you for those months leading up about your television show.
Yep.
And I remember you were like, get her a cat. You're going to love it. You told me, you're like, you're going to love this cat more than anyone.
You'll see. I mean, and really.
You were right, Johnny.
It's all about how you raise them. It's just like a dog. If you have a dog that could be aggressive or not, a lot of times it's in how that dog is raised. Cats are the same. If you handle them a lot as they're young, you interact with them a lot. I mean, they're going to come. They're going to come sit on your lap,
our
watch
girl
TV
is
with
the
you. You know,
sweetest cat in the world. There is not a minute of a day where I don't. And she loves my wife more.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife's number one. I'm number two.
All right, yeah, I'm
number
most
two,
of them
okay.
Kind of. They have a favorite. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
But
sometimes
you know,
I'm her favorite,
yeah,
but just
right.
Not. Wait. So Jen leaves now to go with her. We did a piece on MS. My sister-in-law has MS. She's doing well, but my wife tries to spend more time with her.
Sure.
And they go do Paris, and I'm sitting on a seat cushion here from Germany. The guy that saved her life. They took him to the Frankfurt game.
Oh, nice.
The Colts Patriot game. They saw that game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Birthday. This is the seat cushion that my wife brought back, and my back's killing me, so I'm using this. Thank you, Dr. Steve Elliott. The whole, like, animal thing, the first cat we got, we adopted her from Be More Humane out on Nicodemus Road. I didn't want a cat. I've said that bluntly, I didn't want the cat. Like, but I agreed, like, it was, I was going to make it work, right? We got this cat and brought her home, Kitty, and for 6.5 years, she's the love of my life. My wife gets cancer once. My wife gets cancer twice. It became my cat. The cat loved me. The cat died. Like, we were in Paris. It was the weekend of the Wembley Knee. The Wembley Knee in 17. Sucked. My cat died that weekend. We were in Paris the day our cat died. Our cat took sick the night before we left, and she died 2 days after we got it. We took the tunnel into Paris to see Jimmy Buffett, and we lost our cat. We were at a Jimmy Buffett concert at Les Cigales. I'm talking about a 700-seat theater. Jimmy would
That's awesome.
Jimmy would go play there every year as a gift to his band. He would take them all to Paris, and they'd play 3 nights in a little theater. The floor bounces there. It's one of those theaters where bounces. We had eighth row tickets. One of our listeners hooked me up in a fan club because she knew I was going. She's like, I got somebody that has extra tickets. They can't use them, and they don't want to scalp them. They just want to, like, get a fan. And I paid $100 or whatever, and we went into Paris. And we cried. We were sobbing for 3 hours during the show. People were worried about us. People at Buffett are like, what's up? We're like, cat died today. We're a mess. You know, but that's the worst day of your life.
I mean, they're your family.
It's awful.
People don't realize they are your family. You know what I'm saying? So if I saw somebody hurt one of my cats, you can bet I'm going to pull their head off their shoulders. Like, it's
period.
Yes, they're your family members. So, and
tell me about your four. What do you got?
You know, I have a marble Bengal. He's called he's Dexter.
So you lost
he's
your
like
primary
14,
girl
15.
Like in like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
This was before I had my first cat. So we're going back 15 years,
yeah,
right?
Man. Like, so right now we have Dexter. We have Sox, who's a tuxedo cat like Doobie. It's a female. Dexter's obviously male. Then we have, we call him Mini. His name's Apollo. He's a Siamese. He's a boy, little guy. He's hilarious. And then we have one we call Little Girl with like 25 pounds. She's not very little. We took her to the vets the other day, and we heard them through the door. They go, little girl, I don't think so, you know, when they were carrying her back. But, you know, that's
well,
so we have two boys, two girls right
them?
Now.
Where? How did you pick? Yeah,
well,
and why? I mean, why
normally,
four, not three, not five?
Well, I guess right now four is the good number.
And they get along.
Yeah. I would say 90% of the time they all get along. But Dexter's from Barks. Minnie is from Barks. Little girl, we came with my wife, Angel, years ago. Like it was, she had one of her cousins had the cat or something. And then they couldn't keep it, and I wasn't going to, you know, we took it in. And that's the same thing with the other one that we have with Sox. She was with my wife's, like, she has a child with another dude. It was his mom's. She had two cats. She passed away. Billy took the cats in, and he has a dog. And cats did not get along with the dog. So instead of them surrendering it, we took her in and like she's great. So, you know, I will always adopt, you know, the cats. I think it's really something necessary. You know, if you go to a place like Barks, I mean, they take in as many as 12,000 animals in a year, and they do everything they can to save, you know, every animal that comes through the door. So, you know, think about it, 12,000 animals rolling through the door. They need homes. And, you know, so instead of going out and buying something from, a puppy mill or something, I think it's better to go and, I mean, you're saving a life. You know what I mean? You really are. Because even though Barks and look, when Jen took Barks over, the city was running it. They were killing 98% of the animals that came into animal control. In order to be considered a no-kill shelter, I think it's 90% save rate that you have to get to. When I was on the board there, she had achieved that bringing in 12,000 animals. They do not turn. If you brought an animal, got hit by a car, they'll take that animal in and try and save it. You know, like I always tell people, like with the SPCA, they don't do that. They cherry pick the good animals. Like they do help Barks by taking animals, but they take their most adoptables. You know, if you went to the SPCA with an injured animal, they're not fixing it. They're going to turn you away. So they're the place, they're the shiny star. Everybody gives them millions of dollars. People need to give their money to places like Barks or Show Your Soft Side that are actually out there trying to save animal lives and don't have kind of that star power behind them. And, you know, like I'm not going to just slam them on air, but I could tell you a bunch of stories about things that I didn't appreciate that they did while I was on the board. And, you know, and I think that, you know, when the overreaching goal is just to, you know, to try to help these animals, you shouldn't really pick and choose. Like, if you're really there for the support of these animals, you should.
They all matter.
Yes, yes.
John Rollo, he matters. He's here. He's been my friend for a long time. I don't know what to say about you. You're MMA, run a school.
Yeah, it's
Shogun, we got ground control. What are you doing? It's been a long time since we've gotten together,
Well, well, you know.
And Allison's got food over here now. We're at State Fair. We're not in Timonium, for crying out loud. Right. We're in Catonsville. Come on over. Bring some canned goods for the Maryland Food Bank. I'll give you a free lottery ticket. Our friends at Window Nation are part of this, Jiffy Lube, the whole deal. John Rollo is our guest here today. We're going to be here till 5.
All right. So with me, you know, the MMA, I wound up getting it legalized here. I had the lobby speak before the Senate, House of Delegates. Get a law passed so that we could do mixed martial arts.
That's an amazing thing under itself. Because
when I met you,
I didn't think it was ever going to happen, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't think so. And
they didn't think the Super Bowl was going to be in Vegas either.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
right.
There it is. Right?
Or the gambling would be here in Maryland.
Right.
But, you know, so, you know, I went through that process, get it legalized. During that time, you know, some people know my school's called Ground Control. We have 5 locations now, 4 here in Maryland and 1 down in Florida, West Palm Beach. We have 1 in Hunt Valley, 1 in Columbia, 1 in Owings Mills, and I'm mainly at the Rosedale location. You know, that's where I'm from, that side of town, and I like to give back to the community there. So, you know, even though it's more the blue collar area.
Where's your place?
It's on 40. We're right on Pulaski Highway.
You're
and
the
Todd's
old
Lane.
Land.
Now, we moved from that place. Man, we got a place now like 15,000 square feet. It's at 8303. We're between Northeastern Plumbing and the Steel Tin Can Company. And Exile Jim, a good friend of mine's gym, is right next door to us. So, and Bobby's got a best gym in the East Coast easily. It's like 60,000 square feet. It's crazy. But I wish I had that when I was a kid. But, you know, so we're there doing the schools. I wind up starting a promotion called Shogun Fights. Shogun has a show coming up at Live Casino March 30th. It's our 5th one there.
So you were doing the arena for a long time?
Yeah, we did the arena forever. And Frank, you know, Remish, who you brought up earlier, fantastic guy. You know, he's the one that convinced me.
He was a big part of it.
I said no to him 3 times because I just thought the place was too big for us. And he talked me into it, and his staff, the people there were incredible.
What's the most tickets
man.
You ever sold there?
For the first one, man, we sold over 7,000 seats. And
then you are big enough.
Yeah,
there.
On right. a bad day, well, we just didn't open the top. So right. on a bad day, like he said, because he's the one, he said, look, when WWE comes here, unless it's a pay-per-view, they close the top. He said they just put black covers over the top of it.
I saw Brian Adams at the Shark Tank in San Jose.
Yeah, yeah.
They closed the upper deck of like an right. old... You know, even the biggest hockey rink. I was kind of shocked. Cause yeah. like, he's only going to sell 5,000 tickets. Yeah, they know that.
Yeah.
They closed the upper deck.
Yeah, man. So they made it really look cool. Everything was great. When COVID hit, obviously, we got shut down there. We were doing shows at MGM down at National Harbor, too. We had sold out there twice. We got shut down everywhere because of COVID. And then you know that the management of the arena changed hands.
Sure.
In that, they brought it $220 million in renovations to the arena. So when I was there, Frank and I had a deal worked out, and, you know, the rent has tripled since
sure.
I was there. I can't handle that kind of
overhead
now. You know, I love the fact that we did it there for so long. I love the fact that, you know, we were growing up, it was the Civic Center. So... the place where I would go to see things, shows.
Sugar Ray Leonard fought.
You know what I'm saying?
Right there.
Like
right,
the
yeah.
Rolling Stones were there. Prince. I saw Prince there. So for me, it was a source of pride that I was able to grow up here and be able to do a show on that level here. And you know, after when COVID was up, the renovations were still going on. The casino had been approaching me. You know, Chris First.
Oh, you needed a place to do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
period,
Chris
right?
First is my contact over there. Great guy. Ashley
Chris is at the casino now.
Yeah, man. He's their national entertainment director. Chris is really, like worked his way up.
MGM.
No, of Live, because he worked for the Cordish
Live,
family.
Live, yeah. Cord- okay. That, yeah. That's why I thought you did MGM.
We did. Yeah, okay. We did MGM, so, too.
Okay, that's why I'm confused.
And I wouldn't go back there just because I see it as a conflict. I'm here with Live. They treat me great. MGM's not a competitor of the arena. Two casinos, I just feel ethically I wouldn't feel right. I would think they would be upset if I was down there. Doing
I know
a show
Chris
at
forever
a competitor.
Too, and Cordish a local
super
company.
Good guy.
Yeah.
And the Cordish family's been great to me, so I've been real happy there. I think it's almost is a better fan experience because everything's self-contained. You know, you have the casino, you have the restaurants, you have the hotel right there. The production value inside because it's a brand new spot with their screens and all is amazing. So it's been a great relationship. You know,
when is it again? March?
March 30th.
March 30th. What night of the week?
It's a Saturday. Always okay. A Saturday, yeah.
So putting a card together when you're Shogun and just trying to do it with Frank all these years ago, a lot of people participating now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, from a, I dare I say, minor leagues or major leagues, you know this, and I'm not a fan of your sport.
Hey, man, I say it's, for us, I look at us as like the, you know, people, you should never say you're like the B League or whatever. We're a regional promotion, and my goal is to take our local talent, showcase it, and help them get to the next level, you know, so that maybe one day UFC champion will be somebody from Baltimore, you know?
From a ground control level and from kids doing this, and who comes in and train?
The reason
you couldn't do the show in Dundalk the other day is you're training people.
We start the kids. We have a 4 to 7 age group, 8 to 12 age group, teen group.
Would this be reminiscent of what
adults.
Karate would feel like many years
say,
ago?
I would say it's kind of similar.
Nobody bothered me. Nobody bothered me either.
Like the kids, do you remember Binky Jones from Dundalk?
No, Binky well.
Right, cool.
We played little. We played
right,
Pop
that's
Warner.
Right, that's right, football.
Binky's a legend.
Binky is the head of the kids program, and he's phenomenal with the kids. Him and Tony Hines run the kids program. My brother, Jamie, retired from Baltimore County teaching after 30 years.
I was going to ask you how.
Jamie runs my gym pretty much now, you know what I mean? So if I'm not there, he's there, and he holds it down for me. So, yeah, man, it's been a very cool experience, you know, I'm just thankful to be making a living doing something that I enjoy, just like you. You know, I don't really consider it work, you know, going
and teaching
kids.
You done running around with Motley Crue, beating people up?
Yeah,
done with that?
I just hit Tommy up when I saw he had this. He took a video of himself and his hands locked, his legs messed up. And he said, man, I had carpal tunnel real bad, had to get it fixed. He says, you know, I make money with my hands, and I, you know.
Well, Gina Shock is my friend, Dundalk drummer,
Gina's,
you know.
Cool.
And I hanging with Gina, we actually, my son, on my birthday, we were Drug City. It's a long story. It's like something in a song. But we wound up drinking at the bar at Drug City at the Fountain. And my son nice. Started asking her about drummers and styles and different stuff like that. We talked about Tom, and he said, I don't do all that shit.
Yeah, that's what he did. I have a cymbal after one of the tours we did. Like Zijin is his cymbal company. When he breaks the cymbals, hitting them too hard, and those things cost. So they take them and remelt them down and make cymbals again. I got him to give me one of the cymbals broke, and the whole band, you know, signed it for me, and I got it in like a nice box at the house. Now it's pretty cool.
I know politically, I don't want you to have to say. As a fan, what's going on inside the band with Mick and all that, and any band, and that goes for, you know, people pissed at Styx from something 40 years ago or whatever.
Right.
It does warm my heart. I mean, I saw you two out at the Sphere. They got a different drummer because he can't drum.
Oh, you saw them at the Sphere.
He can't drum.
Huh?
Right?
How was that?
Larry, unbelievable.
Right?
You got to go.
The UFC's going to do a show there. I think I'm going to ask Rogan to hook me up with some tickets for that, you know?
That's weird. Why would UFC, what would they need the wall for?
Oh, he said it's going to be crazy. Like Dana, I just saw Dana on McAfee talking about it and what they're going to do in there. So I'm interested to see.
Well, if you can afford to rent the hall,
you know what I mean?
What I mean? Right?
Dude, you know, that guy's almost a billionaire at this point, so.
Wrapping things up, show your soft side. I want to get that in because I have other guests. We'll get together. We'll visit again.
Sure.
I said to my wife, you know how many times this week I'm going to say, well, time's a little short, but you'll come back on again, right? So John will come back on. John drove to Timonium and then drove to Catonsville.
Right.
State Fair is in Catonsville, people.
Right.
Gosh, the State Fair is in Timonium, and it's not this week. It's not till like August, you know, and they got a Ferris wheel and horses and all that. And plug away anything else. I are we done?
Yeah, now,
nah,
man.
Show your soft side. The reason I brought you out here.
Like, for me, if you're looking for charities, show your soft side. I still am very involved.
They got their big
involved.
Thing, right? The big Paul Jack's coming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Paul Jack Runway is in April.
Okay.
April 4th, I believe. That's always, I mean, that's always a lot of fun. You know, you basically bring the animals out. It's all adoptable animals. They have different people like myself or ball players that bring the animals out and walk down.
Johnny like, Allen's kinda been like part a, of that.
John's there every time. Another Eastwood guy. So, you know, John, great dude.
God, Eastside, we do stick together. I mean, we do.
Dude, I saw John. I went to my boy, the guy who was Nicky's guy when I was with Motley. He's Slash's guy. And when Slash played down at DC, 9 o'clock club maybe, and John was opening for Slash, you know what I mean?
So, City, probably, yeah.
So I saw him, you know, I saw him down there. He hit me up. I saw him down there and all.
Johnny
so.
And I are real close.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Good guy.
I owe him one. They went out on tour. Actually, I invited him to my big Christmas party. He came in. Aaron came in December.
Nice.
So I saw John a couple months ago. See, that he is the exact guy that I would have bothered this week to come out. But, like, I didn't have to bother you guys.
Yeah.
Like, and I bothered you anyway because your name came up and I started talking about you. And people said, and I'm like, Ian been on it forever. Why not invite him
by?
Sure,
so, sure. It's always cool to see you, and it's good to, like, to be able to talk about Soft Side and Barks and Ground Control, Shogun, like, you know, I'm
next up,
I'm
Barry
happy.
Stitz. I'm looking for you, Stitz.
Hey,
I'm looking
Barry.
For Stitz. I'm looking for him.
I mean,
I've been shouting him out. I don't have his number. He's ducking me. You're ducking
I'll see
me,
if
Stitz.
I'll see if I can find it.
Well, I was at Coco's the other day, and I, like Curly and down the street.
Sure.
And what happened was Stitz.
Because Timmy Whitman still trains at the
does
gym.
Does he? How's he doing?
He's there 3 days a week, trains in the daytime. And, you know, obviously he knew Barry well because he was coaching all them guys.
Well, we're old now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel
just
old.
Just turned 55.
I'm 55, right?
But I'm going to hold it down as long as I can.
Oh, dude, our little league teammate is walking in. One of our
uh-oh.
Baseball little league teammates just walked in the door. And you think nobody listens to this show? When he walks around the corner, I'm going to let him walk in because I just saw him. I was going to end this segment, but I'm going to make him sit down. Allison, you got to wait a minute. One of our childhood friends is listening, and this is what happens. It's like it's sort of like Arnold's, you know, like in Happy Days. People walk in, but the dude that's walking in the door. You got to find him. Yell Mark at him. Ask him if he's Mark. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's. I just saw him walk through. He's going to be coming in. Well,
he's
I'm not going to end the segment
to figure
until
out
he
how to
sits
get in
down.
Here.
I'm not ending the segment until he sits down and talks about his father. So you now know who
it's
it
gotta
is.
It's got to be Carol Kowski if you said Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. Come on, dude. We're doing live radio here. Sit down, man. What are you doing? Come on. I know you've been listening. Let's go. Come on, Mark. What are you doing? Sit down, man. What are you doing, dude? Dude, this is the star. Everybody thinks Rollo was the star of the team, but Carol Kasky hit like 560 that year. You know, pull over here. Did you know we're here, or did you not? Hold, put your headset on, man. This is like, where's Monty Otis? Is he out playing music? Like, wait,
Mike,
pull your headset around. Have you not done this professionally before? You've been on my show before.
I haven't seen Monty Otis since Free the Birds.
We went to Free the Birds
right.
together.
Nice.
I started telling a story to my son at Costas on Tuesday about Free the Birds. The day I went, Stephen L. Miles, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
He's my friend,
yeah.
right? Not my lawyer, but he represented me at various points when people were doing stupid-ish with me, right? Acting like fools. So Steve Miles, I want to get you on camera here, get everybody in.
Sure.
Yeah.
I
can move the camera back. I'm just so afraid of unplugging us because I've done it so many times. So what was I talking about? I lost my train of thought getting my
Stephen
camera.
L. Miles.
Stephen L. Miles right.
says to me on the day of Free the Birds 18 years ago when you were with me, Monty Otis was with us too. We're all wearing Free the Birds. I have great pictures of us. It was like yesterday, but it was 18 years ago. Miles says to me, don't worry about him. You'll outlive him. That's what he told me. I don't know. I don't know, man. You know?
He's still kicking.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How about you?
So I'm doing a charity thing this week, all right? And, like, he runs a gym, but he does nice stuff for cats. I do this stuff and get banned by the Ravens to do nice stuff. You have been doing beautiful work with beautiful people like your whole adulthood. I am in awe of the work that you do. Tell everybody what you've dedicated your life's work to doing and helping humans. This guy's a special guy, dude. And we knew your dad and your mom. That's why you turned out right.
Mr. Butch, thanks. Miss Joan.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Right now, I'm actually working for the Veterans Administration, helping homeless vets hopefully try and find and maintain their housing. And then you actually helped me out a while ago. I work at Maryland Therapeutic Riding on the weekends.
In Crownsville?
Indeed.
Yes. All right.
They had a big fundraiser for their Kentucky Derby year or two. They might have a year, but you were there.
I couldn't do it, but I wanted to do it. It just was the wrong night for me.
And you had Kelly Rogers on the air a couple of years ago helping to promote
I promoted it, yeah. I think I did that, but I couldn't make it, but I wish I could have made it.
Yeah, so we help kids and veterans both with therapeutic riding and hippotherapy, kind of getting on the horses and doing their speech therapy, occupational therapy, hippotherapy, physical therapy. Yeah.
Did you really know we were here, or did you just walk in and have lunch?
No, actually, I was in the neighborhood visiting a veteran, believe it or not.
You walked in and didn't know we were sitting here?
No, I heard you on the radio. So
No one listens.
Everybody hears.
This is awesome. Can somebody take a picture of me and my Little League team for,
yeah, he told
for
me,
crying
he says,
out? Because I got other guests lining up here.
You're not leaving
here,
one of our Little League guys.
And
Bernie said Mark.
I'm already making, I'm backing charities up and people are here. But these are my dudes. Monty Otis, where are you? Get down here and play some guitar, man. See, people think people from Dundalk don't turn out, but they do. All right, I got a break. Mark, I love you,
thanks,
man. It's so good to see you.
Same.
How can people help you? Tell them about the riding thing. Tell them where to find them and everything. So people
Maryland Therapeutic Riding on the internet. We have a big fundraiser coming up every year for the Derby. So
I told you I get 100 charities. You're just going to walk it off the street.
Right.
You know?
There you go.
There it is. We good, Johnny?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
John Rallo went to the other state fair in Timonium. That only happens once a week. And we're here in Catonsville doing it every day. I had some steak and eggs this morning. I'm going to have a salad for lunch because seeing John all buffed up, I feel like, and my back all effed up, I got to like get on the yoga mat tonight and do something.
What about me? The jacket? Hiding it?
I already said you hit 536 in 1970.
Fair enough. Fair
listen,
enough.
Since the three of us are together before we do this.
I still have my MVP trophy from
there you go.
I still have all that stuff, man.
So do I.
It's crazy.
I started trash talking Barry Stitz, and I want you to pile on a little bit because it was my fault. I'm the one that struck out in the seventh inning with the bases loaded on a 3-2 pitch. It was outside the zone.
It was.
Richie Paff. I know you had a loss in your family lately, but I'll never forget Richie Paff.
Hey, Richie.
Richie
I used
brought
to see heat. Richie up at Essex. I would go up there to run, and he coached he was coaching the Essex baseball team at the time.
Yeah, Richie and I were curly together.
Did he strike you out, too?
Couldn't
hit him.
Yeah, he was. Nobody you guys could hit were him. There when
That's
I was at
That's why
McDonough's.
I wound up, because you didn't hit a double in the seventh. I bat fifth. I come up after you. I think they walked you to get to me. Well, Paff was like effectively wild at that point.
And he threw some heat.
Yes,
he's a southpaw, so people you weren't used to seeing that.
This is where you have validated my life. Knowing you since we were 10 years old, I have felt awful about letting you down. My wife would say I'm scarred by it, but at least I said. He was effectively wild, and you guys are like,
Yeah.
He was like the gooch,
Richie.
Dude.
Yeah.
You would beat us up, but you couldn't hit his fastball.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, Richie was good.
But I want to talk some trash about Stitz because I'm trying to. All I got to do to get Rallo out is text him. All I got to do to get you out is like talking
on the
radio.
Radio
and you show up. Stitz, meanwhile. Who was on the other team, which is why I'm ish-talking him. You know, he was on the Yankees.
Yeah, he was a Yankee.
He was using the other team. He was on Paff's team that I'm trying to smoke him out. Get over here and talk about Curly. Because I got two Curly boys here.
I went to McDonough. My brothers went to Curly.
But they
recruited me playing football, and I wound up on scholarship out there.
I have a McDonough story. You ready?
Yeah, go
1979, Miss Johnson. Jesus. Any of my Colgate people would know this. I was like a high achiever kid. I was a 99 percentile on the Iowa test and all that.
And they might have been.
But I was poor and Hispanic and, you know, white trash Dundalk and over on the other side of town. And the teacher in our school, she was a really weird lady that people didn't like. I loved her. Her name was Miss Johnson, Betsy Johnson. She's long since passed, but I loved her. And she really looked out for me. She thought I was going to do something with my life. She really, you know, she saw something in me. And she said, we got to get you in a private school, right? Like, literally. And on a Saturday morning in 1978 or 9, My parents took me out to McDonough.
You were going to grade school out there, man?
No, it was seventh grade.
Yeah.
So I was in sixth grade. I turned them down for eighth. She was trying to get me scholarship money.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I had to fix your mic because I'm coming through your mic.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It's my fault for being loud. But so they took me out there like 7 in the morning on a Saturday and gave me like a California Iowa test. And
they cut
the amount of time of it by like half. I mean, it felt like I couldn't possibly have done well on it or whatever. I never heard from McDonough. I mean, like, I went out there and I didn't want to get on a bus every day and go an hour free. I mean, I just didn't.
Dude, I lived out there.
Well, you know, I was smaller than everybody. Yeah. I was younger than everybody. I skipped a grade already, so I was already like, I graduated 16, and I never heard anything. But I'll never forget going out there and having gates open up and like.
It's pretty
and
crazy.
I had been out there a lot as a child because my grandfather lived in Randallstown, so we would always pass it on McDonough Road. But it looked like this gated mansion thing, and even when I was a kid, so I had an entree to private school.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Well, I pooped on Curly because it didn't have girls. You know what I mean? My parents wanted to send me to Curly or Mount Carmel, and I'm like, what are we going to do for girls, you know? So that's why I didn't go to Curly.
Well, Catholic High is right across the street.
That's
man.
Right, the sister school.
That's the
school.
Problem. It's across the street. That was yeah, my yeah, first problem.
McDonough, I mean, it was a military school. Then it was just guys. I think around 79 or 80 when they went co-ed, 83, I guess, you know,
okay.
I was a freshman because I graduated in 86. But when I went there, by my sophomore year, girls were boarding at the school as well as guys, you know, so you had one girl dorm and two guy dorms.
How many kids
out
were
there.
In your class?
Not 131
and
in
it was
my graduating
20 girls
class.
And 110 dudes?
I would say that it was...
But it's tough to be a girl there, dude.
I mean, Ooh. Honestly, if you're at McDonough, like being an athlete, that's I would imagine that's why they recruit because, I mean, you have you got a lot of women out there. You got a lot of very smart people out there. So the athletes, like when they recruit an athlete, I mean, I'm playing football, baseball, and wrestling. You know, you're a lot of guys that come in are like 2 and 3 sport athletes, and you wind up playing all the sports. But it was it was a great experience. When I first went, like, I spent days at Curly, at Calvert Hall, at Loyola. People, you know, everybody was looking at me as a kid. And I didn't think I would ever go to McDonough because you have to live out there and all this nonsense. But when I went and stayed, I just felt like that was the right
place.
You
lived there.
Yeah. If you were on scholarship, you were a boarding student. You lived there because they wanted to make sure you were doing your schoolwork. You had like a
no wonder
job
I
in the morning. Yeah, yeah.
I was at Hammerjack's, dog. I don't know where you were. I mean, I was at Tommy Lee.
Yeah, I was there.
They turned out all right.
I was
you,
there. But... We only went home on the weekend. And if I got myself in trouble, like I did a lot my freshman year, you're on restriction. So you had some... I'm shoveling horse crap in a horse barn on
so
a Saturday.
You got your ass,
you know?
Your old man sent you out there to get
oh,
your
yeah,
ass
yeah,
beat.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, you know my dad.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. You knew your dad. Mm-hmm. So the Stitz thing comes honest because last Thursday I promoted this thing on Fox 45. So Patrice had us out. Tom's out there. And Pete from Costas. I said, Pete, it's soup, dude. Just bring a bowl of soup. I'm going to bring crab. He got out of bed. This is Pete.
Yeah, Pete's awesome.
Pete goes to Dundalk, makes all the crabs, and he brings a young man with him. To, like, help him get all the ish out of the truck, the Costa truck. So I pull up the Fox 45. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. He's got a dude with him. And I recognize the dude who brings me food sometimes at Costa. He's a runner, kitchen runner. His name's Colin. I'm like, hey, Colin, hey. Well, you know, I'm trying to be friendly. It's 8 in the morning. Hey, where do you go to school? Because he looks like he could be in college. He's like, I go to Curly. And I'm like, oh, you know Stitz? He's like, I played soccer for Stitz. I'm like, give me his number. So Stitz's name's been coming up all week. Now that you showed up and we've got a confirmation that it wasn't so awful that Richie Paff struck me out in the bases loaded in the seventh inning with a 3-2 pitch, that you validated
that
all this.
That was outside. That was outside.
It was low and outside. You're damn right it was. Butch knew that too. I think Butch came out there and did a little Earl. We loved your dad, man. Your dad was a special man.
Mr. Butch
Both
is great.
Both your dads were amazing people.
Yeah, yeah. That's why, you know, knock on wood, that's why we all turned out well, because our parents raised us
right. We have good families?
Indeed. We all, now we sound like our parents, but it was just better back then. It was a better time back then, I believe. And, you know, the middle class was thriving. You had, you know, Spares Point and Lever Brothers and, you know, all these other places.
I was in a backseat car today. Bucky Dent hit the home run off the Red Sox.
That's hilarious.
We were heading to football practice.
Yeah,
your dad
man.
Picked us up.
Yeah,
Jerry
yeah.
Shenning's dad and your dad took us.
But that's how it
drive.
Was. Everybody
you had to pick us up, or Mr. Shenning had to pick us up, and you didn't play football.
Jerry Shenning, Ben Neal is Jerry's uncle.
I did not know that. See?
And Jeff was my best friend growing up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, well, I still run into them on occasion.
Jerry and I share the same birthday.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Well, it's Eastside Lovin'. Mark Karolkowski was my childhood friend. John Rollo was my childhood friend. We all played Little League Baseball, and it's serendipity is what happens here.
Right?
Love you, Johnny.
All right,
see
brother.
You, Mark. All right, Stitz, you're next. Back for more from State Fair. Come give us some canned goods after this.